Good morning. It is good to be here together. We'll turn to the passage in Mark chapter 8, if we may, and just like to lead us in a short prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your precious word. It's the word of life. It's the word of power. It's a transforming word. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The inspired, the inerrant, infallible word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would take your word to heart. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will give heed in our hearts and in our lives to your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're looking this morning just in line with the church weekend theme that we've been having. And this morning we're looking at the theme of We Are Disciples. On Friday night we started by looking at this theme of We Are Worshippers. And we focused on the book of Revelation, chapter 5, where it says, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever." And we looked at the call upon our lives to worship. Every part of life is to be lived to him who sits on the throne. And praise God, we have a Savior who sits on the throne. No matter what world events conspire, or the world seems to go downhill every decade, and yet our God is on the throne, and we worship him. And then yesterday we looked at the theme of we are family, and from 1 John chapter 3 about how we love one another, not just with our words and in our speech, but with actions and in truth. And that we are called to be a family together. And that's been the heart of what we've been looking at. And then secondly, yesterday we looked at the theme of we are servants. And we looked at how Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve, from Matthew's gospel, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the call on us as followers of Jesus to serve one another, and to serve the community, and to serve the world in which God has placed us. So we are worshippers, we are family, we are servants, and then this morning, we are disciples. Disciples. I think it's true that we are most free when we are most obedient to God. Sometimes it can seem a little confusing, because sometimes people, when they think they're going to be submitting to authority, the authority of Christ, that somehow that would not make them free. We think of freedom today in terms of independence from everything and any other influence, that we just live according to our own desires. That's what someone once called the Disneyfication of the church, because the message of Disney is follow your heart. That's the message of culture. So much, just do what your heart tells you. Follow your dreams. Do whatever you want to be, whatever you want to be. Isn't that the language of our culture around us today? Self-fulfillment, self-actualization. That's not the message of the New Testament. It's a message that our culture often thinks of, well, surely we'll be free if we can just be ourselves. But actually, Jesus, I believe, calls us to this place of freedom in Mark chapter 8. But it's actually when we're most obedient to him that we are most free. Just let me read it once again. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples. Just note that this is a message for his disciples. He says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Isn't that a remarkable statement to make? It's so unlike anything our world has to offer. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. He says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. And this is a verse coming up that we often apply to gospel messages, but it's actually true for disciples just as much as someone who's thinking about becoming a Christian. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? I once heard someone say, you know, the great Martin Luther, who was the spark that lit the flame of the Reformation back in 1517. And someone reading of a great love of Reformation studies, and someone was commenting that the whole Reformation obviously was something accidental, really, for Luther. It wasn't that he tried to start a movement to bring a reformation to the church. Luther was just trying to save his own soul. He just wanted to get right with God. He wanted to make sure that he was not missing the true gospel. And he was really on an exploration and a journey to see how he could actually be saved. And it was because he then stumbled upon that great truth of justification by faith and by grace alone, that actually that spark was lit. But it was actually, he was just seeking to get right with God himself. And actually, sometimes I wonder whether it would be the best thing for each of us to make sure, as the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're in the faith. Because there's nothing more precious than your soul. What can you give in exchange for your soul? And what Jesus is calling us to here is something of the highest importance. This life of discipleship isn't something that is just for the few. It is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. A disciple is a daily, unextraordinary life that's lived out in the normality of our human existence. It's not always dramatic or anything like that, but it's a daily life lived out following Jesus. An extraordinary love for Christ, from Christ and for Christ, lived out in a very unextraordinary daily living. I don't think many of us would say that our lives are utterly extraordinary on a daily basis. I think most of us live life the best we can each day. But what Jesus is calling us to here, it's not to something dramatic, it's to something very ordinary, but also very supernaturally extraordinary within the ordinary, to simply deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow. To follow. That's not what our world tells us. The world tells us to make your own path. You find your way. No. Jesus has made the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And we need to put our feet where he has trod. We want to be imitators, therefore, of God as dearly loved children, Ephesians 5. We're called to be like him. Oh, to be like him. Not to blaze our own trail, not to be independent, not to do it my way. That old song, I did it my way. No. That is not the way to life. That's not the way to save your soul. The way to save your soul, Jesus says here, is to lose it for Christ. To get lost in God. To get saturated in God. That your whole being would be lost in Christ. But actually, that's the way to be found. Be found, what does Paul say? To be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. We are wholly caught up in Christ. And as disciples of him, We are learners. We are those who follow. We are those who daily deny ourselves in order that we might grow, in order that we might submit to God. What does James say? Submit yourself to God, therefore. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're called to submit. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, yield yourselves. It's a beautiful word. I love that word. I remember finding that verse. It's Romans 6:13, and it hit me right between the eyes. Yield yourself to God. That's the way of the cross. It's a full and glad surrender. A joyful offering. Here I am. Take me, Lord. I give myself lock, stock, and barrel to you in the ordinariness of my life, in the daily decisions I make, in the choices, in the attitudes, in the hidden places as well as the public realm, when no one's looking and when everyone's looking. Lord, take my life. Take my life. I lose my life for Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, none of us ever arrive at a point where we've 100% made that, because it's a daily, moment-by-moment decision to keep following Christ and that this walk of discipleship. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple, and I think all of us here want to be his disciple. I mean, surely we would say, yes, I want to be your disciple. Could Jesus have made it any clearer? Often he spoke in parables and in hidden meanings, but actually this is so clear. It's often not the complicated truth, it's the simple truth that's the most profound and the hardest to put into practice. It's not easy to put this into practice. I'm sure none of us would think that after we've sought to follow the Lord. But he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Sounds negative. Sounds, oh, that's a shame. You know, in our world, to so many people, you would think, oh dear. Oh, what a shame. I wish he'd said something else. Couldn't he have made it a bit more cheerful to follow, being a Christian? Is this really what it is about? Deny myself. Oh dear. Surely not. But actually, that's what he said. And the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is the key to life. Actually, Jesus here says, it's not only deny yourself, you've also to take up your cross. It's not a case of when we feel like it, we follow Jesus. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. He didn't say follow your dreams, he said follow me. He said take up your cross. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Of course, I'm still alive. He's not saying I'm literally crucified with Christ, but he's talking about his lifestyle. He's talking about his decision, how he's going to live. I'm crucified with Christ. My will is his will. My choices are his choices. My thoughts want to imitate his thoughts. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yes, but it's not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. He says, take up your cross. Some of us would think, well, what's in it for me? Well, will I get blessed? Will I get this? Will I get that? And Jesus, he said, look, take up your cross, emptied of self, and filled with God. That's how Smith Wigglesworth put it. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Those two words contain within them the very heart of discipleship. If we forget anything else, just follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. Sounds simple. I'm sure we know it takes a whole lifetime to discover the adventure of what it means to live it out. Follow me. What following Jesus is not is putting ourselves first, getting our own needs met, or as Jesus put it, saving our own lives. Because he said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. If you focus on yourself, you miss it. You'll miss it by a country mile if you try to save yourself. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel. And I love that because Jesus really makes the gospel central. He links his very identity to the gospel, the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And we want to be those who put the gospel at the center. I'm worried about the church at large today, that the gospel is a little bit too much on the fringe of the church today. And actually, Jesus wants the gospel at the center. He says, whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. That's good news. There's the glimmer. You'll save your soul. Not you, but Christ will save our souls if we are willing to offer, to yield, to surrender, to be crucified to the world. And that's what we had as Peter read to us from Ephesians there. Put off the old self and put on the new self. Put off our sin and put on Christ. It's exactly what Jesus is calling us to here. We lose our lives for Jesus and the gospel. And Jesus designed the Christian life to be sacrificial. It is not sacrificial because we've made it that way. God made it that way. And so we squirm. We don't want, does it have to be sacrificial? Oh dear. You know, and actually we've missed it because what we gain is Christ. That's when Paul said, I consider everything else rubbish if I may gain Christ and be found in him. That's the wonderful thing. Every other glint and glimmer of what we so often think in our lives as success pales. It's considered on the rubbish heap compared to Christ and the knowledge that he saved us and the knowledge of his love for us. That when we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, Jesus says that we will save our life. Can't exchange. There's high stakes here. He says, you can't exchange for your soul. What can you give in exchange for your soul? This is how to save your life. It's a wonderful message. Jesus made it so clear. And it's up to us to respond. Because he's made it a matter for us to respond to. Because the very first word he spoke was, whoever. Whoever wants to be my disciple. He's not forcing it on us. He's not pushing us into it. He's just saying, it's your choice. If you want to be my disciple, this is what it means. And it's up to us. And one day, every one of us will stand before God one by one. There'll be nobody to look over to and sort of say, well, help me out here with this one. God will be there with us, and He'll say to us, you know, you heard that message there in St. Mary's Loughton on the 7th of October. It was proclaimed very clearly of what I told you. Now, what did you do with it? And that's so important. It includes me. I'll stand before God. Unfortunately, I'll probably have, the Bible does tells us that I'll have a stiffer judgment than others because of being a teacher of God's word. So I'll have to work that one out. But every one of us will stand before God that day. And he will say, what did you do with when I said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. And I pray that each of us today will be able to say, Lord, I gave my yes to you. That day and each day in a faltering, in a broken way, the best I could. Just as I am without one plea. Just as I am, I come. God isn't asking us to be perfect when we make that fresh commitment to the way of discipleship, but he is asking us to be wholehearted. None of the disciples were ever perfect, but what Jesus asked of them was wholeheartedness. And you could say that from this passage. It's really about wholeheartedness. However you live that out will be different from your neighbor, different from there'll be different ways to live this out. There's no one box that we can just put all of this into. You and the Lord together, live it out. You and the Lord, hand in hand together, walking out this path of discipleship. And the last thing I'll say is this. This is Jesus' invitation to discipleship. But what happens to disciples? Jesus spoke to his disciples. This was the call to discipleship, but this isn't the end. Jesus calls disciples to make disciples. We're called to make disciples. That's the great commission he gave us at the end. He gathered his disciples to him and said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, so that these other disciples also must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow. And that's what Jesus calls us to. He calls us to multiply. He calls us to make more disciples, to lead others to Christ. And that's what Jesus calls us to do as well, in the ways that we can. Calls us to lead others to him. That might be to pray your family into the faith, to pray your neighbors into the faith. Maybe to speak a word for Jesus when you can, such as Douglas does in the schools and through Gideon's and in different ways. To speak a word for Christ in every place that you find yourself when it's the right thing to do. To not be ashamed of the gospel, but to seek to make disciples. Might be to support mission work. It might be in many, many different ways you can do that. To love people, to care for people, to come alongside people and show Christ's love to them, not only in words, but in action and in deeds. And I'm sure I can definitely say that many, if not all of us, do that. And so today, this is a wonderful call to discipleship. We are disciples. Jesus made it this way. And I pray that we can respond with a big yes to God. Lord, yes, I don't understand. I don't know all that it's going to mean. I don't know how it's going to work itself out. I don't know the future. But Lord, what there is of me, have it. Take my life. Take me, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me just pray for us. And so, Heavenly Father, we want to respond. We want to be your disciples. And I pray that you would give us that grace and help of the Holy Spirit, that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. That each one of us, Lord, would know that blessedness of walking with Christ every day of our life. And we pray in his name.